in life, whether you're driving or you're checking your phone or wherever you're at, there's a lot of like visual noise these days, right? You can't go anywhere without seeing a billboard or a sign or something, and it all becomes a blur until something just really grabs your attention. I had that happen a couple of weeks ago. I forget where I was, but I remember the poster that I saw. I remember the poster. It had a picture of a young child on it, and the text read, "You're already being an example. What kind of example are you?" And I stood there, I'm like, "I'm already an example. What?" And I realized that that's the truth. Like, and not just for kids and adults, but no matter where we go, we are being an example of some sort. Whether we're an example of a good and faithful teacher, a hard worker, a student, a retiree, whatever it is, we are being some sort of example for the people around us. If I want to be a good college student again, I'm going to look at Lauren, Matt, honestly. I'm kidding. You're just easy to pick on. But we're always being an example. The question is, what kind of example are we for those who are around us? Now, remember, this text from Jesus tonight comes from the Gospel of Matthew, and he's doing the Sermon on the Mount, right? So crowds are around him, but he is teaching the disciples. And in the Gospel of Matthew, this is his first teaching moment, right? So he was born, of course, he was baptized, he was tempted, he begins to heal people, and then at the height of his fame, at this point, he pulls the disciples up the mountain, where we know something important is going to happen, and he begins to teach them. Last week was the Beatitudes, and now here we have Jesus saying, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." Now, for a minute, I want you to think about how you would feel if you were sitting around the feet of Jesus, like one of the original disciples, and you heard him say, "You are the salt of the world." What's your first reaction going to be? Is it going to be like, "Absolutely, I am"? Or is it going to be like, "Not me, right? I can't be the salt of the world." And imagine how the audience would have felt looking at the disciples and hearing Jesus say, "You are the salt of the world," to them. Because remember, they were fishermen, which was not high on the social scale. They were tax collectors. These were not the cream of society. They were further down the social ladder. And Jesus looks at them and says, "You are." Not "you will be," or my favorite, "you should be the salt of the earth." But right now, you are a salt. You are salt, and you are a light in the world. You are always being an example. And Jesus asks us, what kind of example are we being? One of my favorite shows on TV, I record all of the episodes, is Worst Cooks in America on Food Network. Is anybody familiar with this? Worst Cooks in America. Maybe it's because I grew up cooking with my grandparents and my parents. I'm a pretty good cook. And there are people who are like 75 in this kitchen with two chefs, and they can't boil water. Like literally, they try and make scrambled eggs, and it's just a complete and total mess. And they learn over the course of 12 weeks how to be a better cook. But one of the criticisms, especially in the early part of the series, from the trained chefs is always, "You didn't use enough salt. You need more salt," because salt enhances the flavor. It brings everything out. It makes it better. So when Jesus talks to us about being salt in the world, part of our call is to make life better, to make it better for other people, so that when we leave a room, people think, "Like, I'm really sorry to see her go," or to see him go, as opposed to, "I thought they would never leave." Anybody think about that? Not when I leave. I'm not going to ask that question. But that's what salt does. It makes things around it better, more flavorful, more exciting. I will admit, I am a news junkie. So I have been in my prime these last few weeks with everything that's been going on. But I want to say this. I think Christians need to do a better job of being good salt in the world. Did anybody watch the State of the Union address? I have been, Sandy, that look on your face, like, no. I'm fascinated by the political process, but what saddens me and horrifies me is that self-proclaimed Christians in the Senate, in the Congress, the President, everybody in Washington says we are a Christian, and then they disagree with each other, but that's not the problem. The problem is they do things like they question their faith. They question their opponent's patriotism. They put people down. It has gone from a public discourse of we are talking about the issues to we are talking about personalities. And it's heartbreaking. So if the world sees, I watched it, sees President Trump not shake Speaker Pelosi's hand and then sees Speaker Pelosi, both of whom say they are Christian, tear up the president's speech, what is that telling the world about how Christians behave? Is that salt? There's another word for it, but I'm too polite to say in church. That's not salt. And I want to call them up, but they wouldn't take my phone call. I want to call them and say, you are salt in this world, but what kind of salt are you? Jesus calls us to be better than that. It doesn't mean that we can't disagree at all. We can disagree. Being salt means bringing out the best in each other. So if Pete and I sit down over coffee and talk about and figure out the problems of the world, we solve them all. We might disagree on how that happens, but we can make each other better in our conversation. We are the salt in the world. Jesus raises us up so that we can make the world a better place, so that we can see the acts of God and proclaim them to people, so that we aren't hidden, but we're making it more flavorful to be here. It's a hard call. Because if you are like me, and I don't think I'm uniquely human in this regard, when I hear Jesus say, Heather, you're the salt of the earth, I hear in my brain all the reasons that I shouldn't be, right? We hear all the reasons that we shouldn't be, that there's no reason for God to call us to do good in the world because we goof it up more times than not. But if Jesus had a modern day group of disciples here, there would be people like you and me. There'd still be a tax collector. Sorry. There still would be a tax collector, maybe. There would be people on probation and parole. There would be people without homes. There would be people who are food insecure. Because once Jesus calls us, once we start to follow Jesus, right then, we are salt in the world. We are shining light into the darkness. So this week, how salty are you feeling? Are you feeling spicy? When you walk into a room, do you make it better? You do. All of you do. You absolutely make it better. But what are you doing out in the world? Are we encouraging people? Are we building people up? Or are we trying to put them down when we argue with them? My prayer for the whole Christian church in this country and around the world is that when people see Christians on the national stage, on the local stage, they will look and say, I want to be like that. I want to be like that person because they can still argue, they can still live, they can still be fully human, but they're making me a better person. May we be salty. May we be light. May we shine in this darkness that seems to get closer and closer, but Jesus is so much stronger. Would you pray with me? Good and gracious God, thank you for calling us to be your disciples, even though we aren't perfect, even though our failures sometimes outweigh our successes. God, help us to be the example you need us to be. Create in us a spirit of making the world a better place, of lifting people up instead of putting them down. God, use your church to enhance the world. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.